You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. On the eve of the first resignation of a pope in 600 years, and more than a decade after the public first became aware of the sex abuse crisis in the church, here to discuss the state of the Catholic Church, Benedict's likely successor, is board member of a fabulous organization, bishopaccountability.org. It's a group which has documented the sex abuse crisis in the Catholic Church. She is Anne Barrett Doyle. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Marjorie. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And you do have an unbelievably great website.
Thank you.
Documenting the doings of some of these very slippery characters. I just absolutely love it. So let me ask you, the conclave, as it's called, over there in Rome, going to choose a new pope, and many of them are very tainted by this whole sex abuse scandal themselves. What do you make of this group of people that's over there? Half of them, but many of them shouldn't be there.
That's right. I mean, when a cardinal becomes a cardinal, he has to take something called the cardinal's oath, and it's an absolute astonishing promise to never reveal what could bring dishonor to the church. It's not a promise to tell the truth or to love God or to serve the vulnerable. It's a promise to keep secrets, and every single one of the people in that conclave have taken that promise, which really explains why we're in the mess we're in today.
Well, a lot of us who are not Catholic believe these are essentially, and I choose my terms moderately carefully, unindicted criminals. One guy, this Keith O'Brien from England, who was going to get the vote, he stepped down yesterday, apparently says no pressure from the Vatican. But you have Mahoney from California. You have other American bishops, cardinals. You have them from Ireland, from a whole variety of places.
Right.
What is the... you've spoken to a lot of survivors. Marjorie and I have through the years, too. What's the reaction to knowing that starting on whatever date it is, March 10th, a man who has essentially covered up these crimes is getting to decide who the next leader of the Catholic Church is?
I think people are dispirited because we know whoever they put in there is tainted. I mean, we don't know of one cardinal or bishop who called the police before 2002. We don't know of anyone who has voluntarily released abuse documents. So it's very discouraging. On the other hand, there's a little bit of a range there. I mean, if I'm straining to be optimistic, maybe one or two are better than others.
Speaking of releasing documents, I called you the day that this all started to break.
Yeah.
And I asked you what kinds of grades you would give to the cardinal from here, O'Malley, who some people, we'll get to this in a minute, are speculating is a long shot to be the next pope. But we'll get to that. What kind of grades did you give him, Anne Barrett Doyle?
I said he was very good in expressing compassion for victims, but really an F in transparency.
And why'd you give him an F?
A failing grade. Because he hasn't released meaningful information about abusers except when absolutely forced to do so. And even then, it's scant.
Our number is 877-301-8970. 10 years after the fact, on the eve of the resignation of a pope, first time in 600 years, how do you think the Catholic Church is dealing with the sex abuse crisis? Again, 877-301-8970.
So, Anne Barrett Doyle, do you think that Cardinal O'Malley should even be over there voting, never mind being talked about as a possible next pope?
Why would he not vote?
Because I think that the point that many people have made is that those people who are tainted by the child abuse, by the sex abuse crisis, and have not been transparent, have not done what they should have, why should they be in a position to choose the next pope?
Well,
I don't think that's that radical an idea.
We know, few people realize that Cardinal O'Malley himself has kept accused priests in ministry. In his first 30 months in office, it's the only period that we have data for, he kept 45% of all accused priests in ministry. We have a report from the Archdiocese of Boston.
Where he knew of the accusations against these priests?
He knew of the accusations, and the Archdiocese decided that the claims were unsubstantiated. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind that the church nationwide only says 2% of claims are false. So he's keeping 45% of accused priests in ministry. Cardinal O'Malley is expert in poignant rituals, but he doesn't release information. So to answer your question, Marjorie, if he doesn't vote, really no one should vote. So we have a practical problem because every single one of them is implicated in this. This has been from the top down, this cover-up, and it started in Rome itself, of course.
Now, what about Cardinal Dolan? He's the favorite. I mean, I think it's very unlikely there's going to be an American pope, but he's the favorite of lots of people because he's got a great personality.
From New York City.
He did a stand-up comedy routine with Stephen Colbert that got great reviews at Fordham University.
Right.
What is his record on sex abuse? Equally horrible?
Cardinal Dolan is sitting at the top of the most secretive archdiocese in the U.S. We estimate, based upon reliable figures that we've gotten gotten from well-investigated dioceses. There are probably 700 accused priests in New York City, and we know of 30 of them. That because that state has a terrible statute of limitations, that archdiocese is in total lockdown. It's how Cardinal Dolan found it, and it's what he's doing. He's not releasing any lists of accused priests because the laws in New York State favor institutions that cover up for sexual predators.
And when you say accused priests, because this is important, oftentimes these priests are not accused by one or two. They're accused by many people over the years. So there's a certain credibility to these accusations.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, if the church investigated thoroughly and put their names out there, more victims would come forward and possibly still have time to file lawsuits. And that's exactly why they don't put out names.
Our numbers are 877-301-8970. We're going to have to get to the calls in about 1 minute. I just want to say, for those not familiar with Ann Barrett Doyle, who are saying, you know, where are these allegations coming from? If you go to bishopaccountability.org, the documentation of every single word that crosses this woman's mouth, the actual documents are there. It is stunning. It is powerful. You should do it. Let's go to Gardner, where John is on the phone on Boston Public Radio with Jim, Marjorie, and Ann Barrett Doyle. Hey, John.
Hi, Jim and Marjorie. Glad you landed on your feet.
Oh, John!
Hi, John.
A frequent caller
in
our former life. It's great to talk to you, John. Good to hear from you. Go ahead.
I really am glad, and you're doing a good job. Hey, you know whose name I haven't heard mentioned, and I forget the title that he got over there in the Vatican, but our old friend Cardinal Law, is he going to be voting?
No, he's too old. You got to be,
under
80? Is it under 80 is what he's over?
Yes.
He's over 80. So there's one piece of good news there. But it brings up, he's running some basilica in the lap of luxury over there. What's it called?
Mary Major, something
right,
like
and
that.
And he's still allowed to attend the pre-conclave meetings in which, you know, names are being, people are politicking to see who's going to be pope. So he still has some influence over there. But yeah, he is not voting, which I guess is a small blessing here.
John, thanks for your call. It's great to hear from you. Stay in touch with us. Again, 877-301-8970. You know, there's a great, I hate to make light of any of this stuff, but if you see, you know, for those who are into college basketball, you know, they have the brackets, and then you ultimately get to the Sweet 16.
Right.
Have you seen the Sweet 16? Have you seen this thing yet?
No.
It is really funny, where they have the 16 men who are most likely to be finalists or ultimately. Do you have, when you said you don't have any hope for the future, have any of the men who are being rumored, I mean, everybody knows the Catholic Church is exploding in Latin America and Africa. Peter Turkson from Ghana is apparently a front runner. A couple of guys from Latin America. Have any of these men ever said anything that causes you to smile or feel decent about the sex abuse crisis?
The only one I think gives me a little bit of hope is there's a Cardinal Schönborn in Austria who actually blew the whistle on another cardinal in Austria who was abusing, I think, hundreds of seminarians. And he also spoke out against a Cardinal Sodano for being sort of the architect.
Is he Argentina
of
or is he? Oh,
Sodano is
Italian.
Right. He's
sorry.
Dean of the College of Cardinals right now. So Cardinal Schönborn has a lot of influence, and he has some courage, and his heart and head seem to be in the right place.
But he's not on any short list.
Well, I think he's on some people's short list.
Really?
Because he's close to Benedict. But I think, unfortunately, his courage in speaking out against his peer cardinal probably will mean that he's not a real contender here.
You know, one of the reasons the some wisdom as to why O'Malley was even being rumored in the Italian press, and then John Allen, who's from the National Catholic Reporter, started writing about it, and then obviously local papers picked it up, is not that preposterous, even though I think it's a long shot. The theory goes like this, that in the conclave, they're not going to want to pick a person who's not white. But they do know that they're exploding, not in Europe or in America, but in Latin America. And in Africa, this guy speaks Spanish, Cardinal O'Malley does.
Right.
He was in Chile, I believe that's where he was, somewhere down there for quite a period of time. So how preposterous on the preposterous scale is it to think that O'Malley is a serious candidate here, Ann Barrett?
Well, this rumor I thought would disappear instantly, but it's actually persisting because...
Beyond this region? Beyond here and with a couple of reporters in Rome?
Yeah, it seems to be persisting only because the Vatican is so scandal-ridden and the scandals keep erupting. And more the thought is cardinals will look longingly to someone who's perceived as having clean hands.
And as someone, I mean, you don't feel this way, but much of the press will write that he is one of the few people who was it New Bedford, Fall River, and was it Fall River he was with Porter originally?
Porter, Father Porter.
And ultimately in Boston did address this, even though he'd get an F for transparency from you. Let's go to George in New Bedford. You're on with Ann Barrett Doyle on Boston Public Radio. She's from bishopaccountability.org. Hey, George.
Hi, people.
Hey.
Hi.
I was wondering what the church's response was to the NAMBLA co-founder, Reverend Paul Shanlon, who was charged with child abuse, and I haven't heard anything about his case.
He's in jail.
Yeah.
He's in jail. He's been in jail for quite some time. I think that he was found guilty. Gosh.
What was his sentence?
Oh, many, many years. He's in his 70s. I suspect, George, he will die in jail.
But he's the aberration. I mean, there are not many Paul Shanleys in jail.
He's one of the few people that was that the statute of limitations did not allow to escape, I think only because
he had left the state for a while. So
that's
it had told. That's right.
But I remember actually covering that trial, and the young man that got up, and Paul Shanley would go and take him out of his catechism class when he was like 6 years old in the church on Sunday mornings and take him to the boys' bathroom and abuse him there. And this young man was now in his 20s, and it was the classic case where it was a family that had a little trouble, things weren't all rosy there, and Shanley knew just which kids to pick on, and he picked on this young man who showed extraordinary courage.
Yes,
being on the witness stand.
Hey, George, thanks for the call.
Really gruesome when you listen to it.
You know, speaking of horrible ironies, if that's the right expression, we all know a woman who shall remain unnamed who was abused by that same Father Porter.
Yes.
And who did she go to for counseling? Who she said treated her wonderfully because he was not interested in little girls; he was interested in little boys. But Paul Shanley.
Paul Shanley was a very charismatic. Yeah. When you saw him, even in his 70s, he almost looked like a movie star. He was very handsome, very charismatic. He was supposed to be this great street priest down taking care of the young men that were at the bus station because they were runaways. Now you find out he wasn't taking care of the young men that were at the bus station.
877-301-8970. Back to your calls in 1 second. What's the next step for your movement, for lack of a better expression? What is the goal? The first goal, to get an audience with the next pope when he is appointed. What's the next round for you guys?
I think generally we don't see dialogue with the hierarchy as giving us anything. I think what we have to do is keep documenting, keep getting these cases in court, and more than anything, change statute of limitations.
What's
laws.
The status, by the way? Carmen Durso is one of the number of lawyers who's done wonderful work on this, along with some very other high-profile people, has been leading the charge for elimination of the statute of limitations on sex crimes against children. What's the status of that? The status has been pending forever.
Right. A terrific bill has just been refiled, both one in the House and one in the Senate. And, you know, what happens every time is that Cardinal O'Malley leads the charge to defeat the bills. In other words, the church does not want civil statute of limitations eliminated in Massachusetts because that will make them vulnerable as enablers of sexual abuse.
You know, one of the arguments they make, just on this for a second, because it's actually a subject that I care a lot about, Marjorie and I have talked about a lot through the years too, is the argument against eliminating the statute of limitations is, you know, the evidence is too old, the witnesses for. But the response to that is, well, then prosecutors use their discretion not to prosecute.
Right.
If they believe the evidence isn't there, that the witnesses have forgotten or have died, then they're not forced to prosecute, but at least they have the ability to prosecute, and they don't have that now, which is why people say, why are so many of these priests who we know did the most horrible of things to little children who are now men and women? And by the way, a huge percentage, like a third of the abused people, as you know, are women, girls, and we tend to ignore that. Why are they walking the streets? Because the laws allow them to walk the streets.
Who's next, Jim?
Dan in Worcester. You are next with Ann Barrett Doyle from bishopaccountability.org. Hello there, Dan.
Hello, Maggie and Jim.
Hey, Dan.
Oh,
Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Another old friend. Welcome, Dan. It's great to talk to you.
Jim.
What's it?
WGBH, but you must be like the Pope over there. Yourself.
A different kind of Pope, yeah. Dan, it's good to hear from you.
It's the same here. Nice to see you guys back out and about.
Great.
This whole Pope thing, and I was saying that the conclave right now, I'm a Catholic, but I'm not really a good practicing Catholic, but I'm aware of what's going on. The conclave is tainted, it's poisonous, and I think it's going to take years for that group to drop off, and for a new group of people to come in who are not tainted and who are not poisonous, and to get this thing back on track again. And I just have a hard time feeling good about this next election, because you just don't know who they're going to put in there. If this fellow, whoever gets put in there, is not poisonous himself.
But then let me respond to that by saying, it don't be optimistic at all, and correct me if I'm wrong, either Marjorie knows a lot about this or Anne, is that I think every single member of the conclave, what is it, 117 yeah. or somewhere near, every single one was either appointed by Benedict or John Paul II. And the assumption right. is if they pick somebody who's other than ancient, that they pick, for, I think Turkson, for example, is only 58, mm-hmm. the likelihood is the same person who has a bad attitude on the same issue is going to pick all the next round of cardinals,
but
too.
But I think it's important yeah. to point out, because Dan's a Catholic, I am a Catholic, I still am a practicing Catholic despite all the odds. I think for Catholics I know that are still practicing Catholics and faithful Catholics, they've given up on the hierarchy. They are, I sound like a broken record on this, but I think it's very true. They're Catholics despite the hierarchy, not because of the hierarchy. And it's not about the hierarchy to mm-hmm. those people that are still in church. It's about something totally different. And so unless we have a shocker, as we had in 1958, I believe it was, when the conclave stunned everybody by picking a guy they thought was a pushover, John the 23rd, who mm-hmm. wound up trying to revolutionize the church. Of course, they've been trying to push back all those revolutions now for since John Paul died midway through Vatican II. But I don't think this is going to matter that much to a lot of Catholics who have just said they're never going to change.
Dan, it's great to yeah. talk to you again.
Yeah. I think what you're seeing actually is a breakdown in the church's control to control information. I mean, I think that they obviously have lost control in Rome, and we see them losing control here.
Why?
In the
because
United
of these
States.
Leaks you're talking about? This
sure.
internal
internal leaks, whistleblowers coming forward. To have that Scottish cardinal forced out because of four courageous whistleblowers, you know, one thing the next pope could do is protect whistleblowers who report sexual misconduct by clerics and bishops.
They've also, and it is one of the silver linings of this horrible tragedy, is they've lost their moral authority. I mean, I think when they issue these statements, a lot of people say, okay, fine, you know, issue the statement. But yeah. who are you with your tainted history, past and present, to be issuing any statements?
Let's squeeze in one more call. John from Boston is on with Ann Barrett Doyle from bishopaccountability.org on Boston Public Radio. Hello, John.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Excellent. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was just hoping that your show could be a little bit less sarcastic with regard to this story, because it's a valuable story, but the way that the story has been presented up to this point has been really not really as objective as it should be.
What was not objective and what was not factual so far, John?
Well, it's without... I don't have all the specifics.
Well, give us one specific.
The sarcasm, you know, with regard to speaking in absolutes about every single cardinal or every single person voting, we don't know that. So why say it?
Well, don't go away. We all want to respond to you.
I think we do know it, but Anne knows it. Anne knows it better than any of us. Go ahead, Anne. Respond
to
John.
Well, first of all, I shared John's... I might be presuming, John, but there's just a tragedy about this, you know, and a sadness. And it's hard to believe that these men who've committed themselves to God's service are really uniform in this way. But I think objectively, it's literally true that they all commit to keep secret anything that could hurt the church, even if it's a secret about child sexual abuser. You know, it's objectively true that we don't yet know of any cardinal who has turned bad priests over to the police before 2002, when the lid, you know, flew off this whole mess. So I hear what you're saying, and I, as somebody who tries to be factual, I try not to get too overly broad, but I actually would love to find a cardinal who behaved responsibly. I really would. I'd be the first person in line to say that guy for Pope.
Well, let me add just one more thing, John, if I can, and we do appreciate your call, I'm the only non-Catholic in the room here, but I say as a non-Catholic who actually cares about kids, so then you have to care about this, the fact that not one of these men has had the courage, decency, or morality to stand up and say someone like Cardinal Mahoney should not be sitting in the room and voting on the next leader of 1.2 or 3 or 4 billion Catholics around the world. I consider him a collaborator. So if I made a grand statement, it's because, frankly, I believe it. But John, thank you for your call. Hope you will call us. Of course. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Sure.
The reason why I'm calling is because I think this is an incredibly important issue, and it's not like I'm a big churchgoer myself, but it's a worldwide organization, and for unfortunately for you, to speak in an absolute thing that not one single cardinal has ever spoken up against this in the history, you know, worldwide.
No, I'm talking about the men who are going
to
vote.
Allow me to finish. I don't think that that's an accurate statement, and I'm just cautioning you that the tone has been very, very sarcastic.
Here's it, John. We got it, John. Here's the no. I'm going to cut you off because, John, here's what I would like you to do. Even though we are not discussing this tomorrow, if you're able to find one of the 100, and I'm saying 117, one of the men who will vote in the conclave who has said something that I missed, you call us tomorrow, and regardless of what we're talking about, we'll put you on the air. John, thanks for the call.
And he and other people should go visit your website because it is really astounding and depressing and upsetting. BishopAccountability.org. Ann Barrett Doyle, you do absolutely wonderful work on that website. It's fantastic. And thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Great to see you both
again.
Great to see you too. All week long at WGBH Radio, we're broadcasting coverage of the changing Catholic Church, where it goes from here. So you should tune in for that. Up next, the Harlem Shake has been all the rage, but with so many elections going on and with so many folks on the campaign trail, the real question is to handshake or not to handshake. We'll be getting a primer on Pressing the Flesh up next on Boston Public Radio, WGBH 89.7.